Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you. With professional-grade industrial supplies, count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
G'day and welcome to the Pod Pod. It's Holmesy here talking all things AFL Fantasy Classic live for you on this Monday night, 8th of April, at the conclusion of round four. Gather round, what a big round of footy, lads. Before we get into the introductions, Lou, I just want to check in with you. How have you pulled up after your massive weekend at Gather Round? How many games did you get to and were you a bit dusty today?
I actually only got to the three, but attended plenty of events, so I had a pretty good time, that's for sure. I think that was documented a bit on the X. A few rough mornings, but we back it up, that's okay, and we go again. A bit like our fantasy teams.
Yeah, love that for you, mate. I'm sure we maybe we'll skip a few of your insights for this weekend after you probably didn't actually get to watch too much of the footy closely, but very, very jealous that you're able to soak in that atmosphere. It looked unreal and hopefully I can get over there next year. I think that'll be a very good time. As always, two-time top 10 finisher, Harmy, got you on the pod again, mate. How are you? How was your weekend?
Yeah, good, thanks, Holmesy. Yeah, it was pretty good. I actually saw probably more footy than Louis by the sounds of it on the weekend. But no, good weekend and, yeah, pretty good. Some high top-end scoring, wasn't there, on the weekend. So it was a good week of fantasy.
Did you happen to catch the game on Friday night? Those Bombers boys were pretty good, Harmy.
You know what? I sat through the whole thing. Just because I had Connor Rosey as my captain and he was killing it. He was untouchable. So, yeah, that was a positive for the night, the only positive.
And, of course, you would have traded in Nick Martin, right?
Incorrect there, Holmesy. No, I traded in Harvey Thomas instead, my number one trade target.
Oh, geez. All right, well, there's always 2025, Harmy. We'll pack up. We'll go again. It's all good. And we have a very special guest with us today. We've got DT Lemon, you all know him from Twitter as, was it third in 2021 and multiple hats and an absolute gun of a coach. So Lemon, thanks for joining us today, mate. And how are you tracking at the moment?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. It's great to chat fantasy as always. I think normally I'm on this podcast just one-on-one with Holmesy. So it's nice to meet the rest of you and hopefully I won't get so many sticky questions from Holmesy this time. So we'll see how we go.
Yeah, and it feels like we're at the friend stage now where I can introduce you to my other friends, Lemon, and it not be too bad. So thanks for jumping on and really looking forward to getting your insights as you are. We'll get to, but you're going very well and that team value, as you always do, is tracking in the right direction. So let's review our rounds. We'll go over our scores and our ranks and then we'll check back a bit later for our plus three and negative three. So Lemon, I'll start with you. How'd you score this week and where are you currently ranked?
Yeah, I had a nice score of 21.93, which I was pretty happy with. This was going to be a tough round for me. That moves my overall rank up to just over 3K. So just been the last 2 weeks, been making good progress, getting up to that sort of top 1,000, top 100 area. Plus three for me was definitely Jack Steele as captain. I was in a weird position of having 30 green dots this week, so I needed to nail the captain, and he delivered. So I was pretty happy there. And negative three, maybe a bit rough because he's a rookie, but McKercher moving into the midfield, I thought that shouldn't be too bad. He's a good scorer from juniors, but only a 50, I think he had. Zero marks as well, which just is just horrible. You hate to see that. So I'm probably like a lot of coaches, I'm hoping he gets moved back to the half back line where he can rack up some plus sixes. So yeah, otherwise pretty good week.
Yeah, very good from you, mate. And we'll touch on a bit later about your genius trade move where all of us have pretty well stuffed it, but we'll hold that for later. Lou, bit more of a smile on your face this week. Why don't you tell the listeners how you went?
Always a smile on my face, mate. If you don't smile, you cry. So I got the 22.05, which I was pretty happy to notch up. So obviously 22 players on the ground this week. That means I went at basically a ton across the board there, which is nice to see. And that halved my ranking again. So it came in from about 21,000 last week to 9,521. So hopefully that's a trend and it can keep heading that in that direction.
Yeah, beautiful, mate. Inside the top 10K, which is very good to see. Still with a lot to shake out over these next two buy rounds. Why don't you give us your plus three and negative three while I've got you?
My plus three, I'm going to give it to Jeremy Sharp. I sort of made it a bit of a goal of mine this week to get that fourth rookie on the field. I certainly wasn't expecting a 106. I was just trying to avoid some of those poor rookie scores, which actually in the forward line ended up being quite good. So that being said, still happy to be rewarded with that. So I'll give it to Sharp. And then my negative I've got negative three Rosie, so I'm not sure why I've done it that way, but I reckon I'll give it to Massimo D'Ambrosio. So scored the 55, brought him in 2 weeks ago. He's made about 45K for me. I wasn't expecting him to keep notching up 90s every week, but that cash generation has been stunted. That being said, I'm pretty glad to see the back of a Connor Buderick who I traded out for him. So can't complain too much there, but yeah, he's going to go his way, I think.
Yeah, beautiful. I'll go next. So I had a 22.15 this week, and that's brought my ranking up from 752 into 308. So really happy with how the ranking's sitting at the moment.
Still 308.
308.
Army. Look at you, up and about.
Yeah, a bit different from last year. It's making this a little bit more enjoyable. I'll give you the hot tip. But yeah, few issues to sort out, as everyone does, but pretty happy with how the team is tracking at this point in time. My plus three, I was going to give it to Jack Steele as my captain, the same as Lemon, but I'll go with his Saints teammate, Nasiah Wanganeen-Milara, for his 127. It's a very rare opportunity where you just keep refreshing the scores and your players just keep going up and up and up. And that was just a beautiful thing to see on Sunday. And that was a big reason why I was able to charge home. My negative three, what do we got down here? Low-hanging fruit. I'm going to give it to Zach Williams, 69, potential injury, looking sore. Not sure we're going to get too much cash out of him, but yeah, at the moment, still happy to hold as long as he gets through and actually plays this week. But Harmy, as the top scorer on the pod this week, how'd your round go?
Yeah, I had a pretty good round, mate. I scored 2-2-2-2, but you've got me for ranking. Let's have a look. I think I was in. That's right. We recorded early last week, and I ended up being about 7,200, and that's brought me into 2,544. So winning a fair bit in the end. So that was a good result. Plus three. Yeah, well, Rosie did it against the Bombers, so I won't give it to him. I'll go Bond, 149. And he was so impressive. He almost, you know, wheeled them over the line against the Cats. So, yeah, 149. That sort of repaid the faith from I never really looked at trading him out, although, you know, gather some people did. The negative three, James Jordan. This was a tough one last week. I made the decision that I needed to get out Fife and Jordan over the next few weeks because they both weren't really doing what I wanted and their cash growth was stunted anyway. But I made the wrong choice, and I kept Jordan against the Eagles. I thought he might put up a decent score, but he didn't, and he looked crap, and I'll be glad to see the back of him in my team. So this week.
Even Harvey Thomas turned up versus the Eagles, didn't he?
Yeah, it's easy against the Eagles, except for if you're James Jordan. I was thinking he was going to get subbed. Like, oh, he wasn't having a good run.
That late was plus hard six to watch. Too, after the game, a little bit of an adjustment there just to – so it's a whole lot worse when you see a 5 in front of it. 60 is not much better, but it saved it a bit there.
Yeah, not good at all. Bit of a pod family update. So Stato this week had a score of 21.33, which brings his rank into 4,170. So the Foss still in a pretty good spot despite being overseas and probably not watching a whole lot of footy at this stage. So keen to see how he keeps attacking this season. And Doswatch, 22.01, probably the first time ever that he scored above 2,200, I would have thought. And that's brought his rank into 12,787. So he's broken
Jack Bowes, did he? Did he bring in Jack Bowes?
I'm sure he's going to go there this week. I'm sure he's going to go there this week. But he's broken the algorithm, the 20K. All it took was for him to leave and go to Supercoach, and now he's actually prospering. So good on you, Dossie. Hopefully you'll keep climbing, which will be good to see. Moving on, just a quick update of the Pod Challenge. So currently, 21 coaches inside the top 100. So Pod listeners are absolutely flying at the moment, and that includes four coaches that we currently have inside the top 10. So we've got Stephen's team sitting at 6, Jordan's team sitting at 7, Josh is at 8, and then I think that's Baden sitting at number 9. So some really highly ranked coaches at the moment in the Pod family, and yeah, it's really good to see. So hopefully we can keep giving out the good advice and they can keep working, Lou.
Yeah, I've heard 6 is afraid of 7 in that lot too. So obviously 7, 8, 9, it's good to see 4 coaches in the top 10 there.
Far out. Has a good week and all of a sudden he's back with those jokes, Lou. Good to see you up and about, mate. Harmy, I'm going to throw to you for this one for your Content Creators Cup update that we know you love to give.
Shit. Jeez, you've caught me off guard there, Holmesy, but I can do it.
They're in the show doc, mate. They're in the show doc. Have a look.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Oh, geez. Harmy, you've cooked us here, mate.
Nah, it's all right. Content Creators Cup. Here we go. Brought to you by Infinite Wealth. Let's have a look. Surely I've got a win. Yeah, got a win over Luke from the Ball Boys. So that was good. Stato got a win just over Nathan from Hat Chat. Louis got a big win over Rids, his colleague at the coaches panel. And then, obviously, this is why you wanted to bring it up, Holmesy, because you got a decent win over Roy, who actually almost scored 2,200 himself. So, yeah, some big scores in that league. So some pretty well-credentialed coaches.
Yeah, I think Guesty was going through some of the stats on their podcast last night, and I think we've got me, DC, and Roy that are all sitting inside the top 500, and then there's a couple others that are just outside 1K. And yeah, that league's flying at the moment, so it's good to see some of the content creators up and about, and hopefully we can continue pushing through towards hopefully the top 100. So yeah, very, very good. All right, lads, so we've got Lemon on today. So what I thought we would do, we're going to have a bit of a strategy round table. We're going to combine the hot topics. I've asked each of you to bring sort of a strategy thought, and we're just going to sort of discuss this round table. So I'm going to throw to you first, Lemon. Take us away with your sort of strategy talk.
Yeah, so I think this time of year, we've sort of corrected a few of the bad picks early on, and now we're getting to the sort of luxury trade or upgrade season kind of part of the season. So I think I'm really interested to know how you guys are going to approach it. I've certainly got a bit of a strategy for the next couple of weeks, but you know, when do we trade the mid prices versus those rookies? Do you target who you're bringing in, or do you just try and get rid of the two guys about to lose cash in your team? How do you approach your upgrade season the next, you know, 5-6 weeks, that is, until we have a completed team? Harmy, have you got any give us any insight into your strategy there?
Yeah, my strategy is, I guess, along a similar line, mate. I'm sort of looking at the rookies that are topping out that I've got to look to try and move on. But I can talk to my team a little bit if you like. So I've still got two rookies in the forward line, and my aim is to get one of them off field by the time we get out of these early buys. So I also have Luke Jackson, so I'm a little bit uncertain about whether he's going to last too much longer if Sean Darcy's coming back, but he'll come in handy to cover Max Gawn, I reckon, in 2 weeks. So, yeah, that's probably where I'm at. I see myself getting one of those rookies off-field in the forward line. And and cleaning up some of those rookies. I mean, it's only really Zach Reed that I've got that is not playing at the moment, but I've just made a few bad choices with my rookies. So some of them are starting to top out and I've got to look at recycling them. It was a bit of a shame that Kay McAuliffe didn't score a bit better because I was quite keen on what he might do, given up he's sort of put over 30 disposals in both his VFL games so far this year. But the Suns rookies coming through looked quite good. So I think we're going to have some options there. But, yeah, that's where I'm at. Targeting people. Oh, look, there's a few people that are starting to drop a bit of cash that have been keeping an eye on you, Tim Taranto, Clayton Oliver types. So that's not an option for me this week. But, yeah, next week and the one after, I'll probably be targeting somebody there. And I've also got a bit of an eye on those DPPs. So I'm not going to worry too much about my backline because I reckon by the time I get a position to be able to piss off Massimo, I'll have Riley Bonner or McKercher going to the backline anyway. So I'm not too stressed about my backline at this point.
Or Nick Martin there, Harmy. You missed him?
If I had him, yeah.
No, I love that. I think that's such a great way to look at it with, you know, two more buy rounds, best 18, and then you hit that round seven. What's your team going to look like? Where are the rookies going to be on field? And as you said, you know, we're going to have a heap of defensive DPP players. So then you can trade out these Massimo, Zach Williams, whoever you've got in that D5, D6 spot and bringing, you know, a couple of big dog midfielders in the maybe before round seven or maybe even early round six. Yeah, I like that. I like that approach. I'm very similar, I think. I think just sort of tracking which rookies are going to be peaking in the next week or two, couple of weeks, same with mid prices and just trying to move them out as quickly as you can. Have a bit of a priority list for them. Any thoughts on that, Louis?
No, I think you boys have nailed it there. We sort of know what best 18 is about at this stage. I think the main difference that we get from it is towards the top end of that 18, whereas the bottom end, the rookies sort of sort themselves out. And we've seen that the rookies can score reasonably well. And for the most part, we all do have sort of similar rookies. So with them making up that bottom end, I think the difference really comes from that top end. So the next couple of weeks, I won't be silly with it, but I won't be afraid to make a few harsher calls on potentially some of these rookies and bring some of these middling mid prices, be it a Massimo, a Williams, a Fisher, all the way up to some of these underpriced premiums that I'm sure we'll talk about a little bit later on in the show.
Lou, you said you might make some difficult decisions with your rookies, so I'll tell you how I started the week last week. I was looking at a Darcy Wilson or a Harley Reid going out, but I changed tact on that and I'm bloody glad I did. But is that the sort of thing you mean? You're making some decisions around the guys that have scored okay, but rather than holding them a few weeks extra, you'll cash them out and look to upgrade. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at, mate. I'm not even against looking at going early on someone like a McKercher. I know he's probably the one that's got the greatest scoring ability, but we've seen in previous years where sometimes if we can get off these guys that maybe don't have as much cash to make, and he might throw that in my face, but I think getting those points on the board as quickly as possible can be a real advantage as well.
Be like when I traded at Harry Sheezer early last year to get off him to get an upgrade to Jake Lloyd or something stupid like that, wasn't it? And ended up trading him back in.
Yeah, that sort of stuff can hurt. But then, you know, there's countless examples of where it's actually worked like the opposite way for us. I think there was one rookie in your year where you came second, Holmesy, where you got off really early and you still made money after that. But the points on the board that you were getting week to week were just pretty much nullifying it all.
Yeah, well, that was Tom Powell that year. So he was one of the number one rookies for us, I think, in the midfield. He came out, I think he had 2 tons in his first 4 games and was averaging pretty much 75 to 80. But as we know that these first year rookies tend to tire, and the week I got off him early, he popped a 40 and then I was away. So absolutely, I think that could be a play with McKercher, especially if this midfield role holds up. I don't think he's going to have as much easy ball in the midfield compared to when he's playing on that half back line. But I think the point comes back to what Lemon and Harmy were making is, during this sort of upgrade season, I'm not sure we're quite there yet, but you need to have a look at how you plan to structure your team coming out of round seven or round six when we're coming into round seven, sorry. And for me, that kind of looks like the three mid rookies, whether it be a Roberts, a Sanders, and then a Sharp. If there's no room for a McKercher, if McKercher and Sharp are going to be scoring pretty much the same, then absolutely I'm happy to go off McKercher early to get up to someone bigger. I think that's absolutely a play, and you just need to make sure that if you are going to go up on some of these mid prices this week, think of Williams, Massimo, Jordan, that you are not going to leave yourself short come round seven, because these rookies that we have on the bench haven't made enough cash yet to make any meaningful upgrades. So I think you lads have nailed that point perfectly. Lemon, I'll stick with you before we move to Harmy for his sort of little strategy point. You've put in here double downgrade. You want to discuss whether this could be the week to double downgrade, which I'm a little bit curious about because we touched on it before. You actually went early on Closey last week. So if you're considering a double downgrade this week, who are those two rookies that you'd be considering this week, considering we're all looking at Closey and you've got him?
Yeah, so definitely I won't be doing a double downgrade this week. I banked a little bit of cash last week with a double down. So I picked up Closey and I picked up Harvey Gallagher. So I think I banked, you know, just under 200K. And then that allows me to have a bit more flexibility with trades this week. I can bring in a big midfielder if I want, or I can bring in a Flanders. And for me, that's something I've done, I think, around this time every year for the last couple, just so I can, instead of bringing in a guy that won't be a keeper, you can really target like a Bontempelli or a Flanders or someone that you know is going to be top of the line. You know, you can just lock them away for the rest of the year instead of targeting that, you know, taking a haircut and trying to pick up that guy that might not be top of the line. I think that it does have a little bit of pain in the short term, but I think if the rookies are right, you know, if you're confident in two rookies this week, I wouldn't have any problem doing a double downgrade and then doing a perfect upgrade next week.
Yeah, I did something sort of not like that, but a little bit similar last week when I downgraded Fife to Ollie Dempsey, and then I cashed out one of my rookies. So I was sort of setting myself up for this week too, but I've now fallen a few thousand short. But anyway, that's the same principle. And I think that was last year or the year before, Lemon, I actually pulled it from you. Like, you've got to be trying to get to the top liners. And that's what I figured this week, that I would be getting either Fife or Jordan up to somebody who's going to be a keeper. So, what are we now? Round four. So we're four rounds in. As you say, we can do our corrections. They're sort of all done. Now we should really be shooting for those top liners and not tinkering around with the mid-price options, because it's pretty rare that they really pay off.
It's really important though, Harmy, still that we do talk about these top liners, but have a lot of these guys come down enough to really be value? We're going to go through a lot of the top line premium soon and what they're priced at. But you think about a Bont, yes, he's lost cash on his starting price, but he's still priced at 116. So if you want to target a Bont, you know, you got to be very confident that he's going to go sort of 120 plus from here, because he's still priced at 116, which is a pretty high price tag. So I think, yes, we're starting to go into upgrade season where we can get to some of these top liners, but I think you still need to be careful about where you go and still trying to find some kind of value. Otherwise, you will fall short in the long run. Would you agree there?
Yeah, I do agree with you, mate. You've got to be selective. You're not just going to jump on anybody. I think last week I threw out Shea Bolton as an option. He was down about 80,000 on his starting price, and he popped a 120. He's already on the way back up. I think he made 20,000 last week. So there's people there in the mix. Look, Taranto, he's down 120,000. Bont,
yeah, we know Clary as well.
Yeah, Clary. Nick Dacos, he's going to be a target coming up for us. He's down about 50 grand, or actually more, must be about 80,000 now on his starting price. Errol Goulden, he's a bloody good option from what I can see, and he's down about 90,000 on his starting price too. So there is a few, mate.
Yep, fair enough. Lou, what do you want to sort of touch on with your strategy chat?
Oh, no, it was pretty much what I said before with the best 18, and just wanting to prioritise that upper end if I can, and not being afraid to get aggressive to do it.
Yeah, and that kind of ties in this week. There's going to be so many coaches that have a lot of players out. You know, I think Heaney's very popular. Dacos is very popular. Grundy's still popular. We've got Roberts. We've got a Jordan. don't be afraid to still attack this week. I know, I mean, I'm someone that's looking at having a Harvey Thomas as one of my players on field in the 22, but that's not necessarily a bad thing with, you know, if he's your 22nd and he's dropping off, then it really doesn't matter. A lot of us are going to be in the same boat. So I know it's tempting to look at the double downgrade to try and, you know, potentially get maybe a Lohman or a Comben or someone like that on field. But if you put those players on field and they're not really in your best 22 anyway, then you're not maximizing your score this week. And that type of rookie can easily be dropped or be subbed the week after anyway, as we've seen with a Harvey Thomas. So you need to be really careful. I think with this best 18, we're in a very unique situation. And I think you've still got to try and attack one down, one up in some kind of a way to improve your side on field, Harmy.
So you'll have him on field if he gets named, Holmesy.
He's got to get named first, doesn't he? He's got to get named, but that's because I don't have any other choice after Lazaro got dropped last week. So I'm not having him on field because I need him to be one of my scorers. It would just be a throw at the stumps. I could leave him on the bench in protest and just play 21. I don't think it's going to change anything, but you may as well have him on there. And who knows, there might be another miracle. But yeah, I think with the players we have in the best 18 system, I don't think it's the worst thing to keep attacking. But
without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's move on now. What we're going to do is we're going to chat some players. We've got some premiums, we've got some cash generators, and then we're going to have a look at some players that might be time to go as well. So let's start at the top end. I'll start with you, Lemon. So I'm going to throw you three premiums here, and I want you to discuss any points you're kind of interested in. So we've got Bont, who's now priced at 116 with a break-even of 106. So he's probably back on the way up after that monster 149 and playing the Bombers, who are horrendous, Harmy. We've got Andy Brayshaw off the back of a 148, now priced at 112 with a break-even of 108. So he's on the way back up as well. And then I'll throw you a Zach Merritt, very, very highly priced at the moment, priced at 122 with a break-even just under that. So he's fully priced, but he's someone that just absolutely keeps getting it done. Are any of these players of interest to you, Lemon, this week? You know, speaking of that, you're potentially looking at a midfield gun.
Yeah, I think definitely Zach Merritt I could rule out. I think, as you said, he's fully priced, 120. Not many guys go 120 for the year. So if you started him, it's a great pick and you want to ride that as hopefully the whole season. But I wouldn't be trading into Zach Merritt this week. But I actually think Bontempelli and Brayshaw could both be options this week. Obviously, Andy Brayshaw has the great buy round in the mid-season buys, and anytime you can lock away a premium with a good buy round, you're just setting yourself up to save, you know, 30, 40 points later on. So I think that'll sort of help sweeten the deal a bit with Brayshaw. And Bontempelli priced at 116, yeah, that's a lot to pay for him, but he's got a great run coming up. It looks like he's maybe coming to a bit of form. So he's the kind of guy that could go 120, 130 for the next couple of weeks. Gives you a great captain option, and it might sort of just, yeah, it's a lot to pay, but it might just get you through the next 4 or 5 weeks, and then you can really attack some of these other guys that are going to be dropping in price.
Harmy, is there any chance that a Setterfield runs with him this week and he goes from a 150 down to a 140?
Did you see, Louis would have seen this, in the second quarter last weekend when Setterfield was manning up on Connor Rosie? And he absolutely torched us. So I'm not sure if it's going to make much difference.
Yeah. Bont's going huge this week. Absolute big, big, big target. And I think that point Lemon makes about the captaincy option as well. Has a couple of, we know he's got an early game this week, so perfect vice captain. So yeah, definitely coaches can look to go there. Louis, I'm going to throw to you here. I'm going to give you a pair of ruckmen. So Rowan Marshall, priced at 117, with a break-even essentially the same. But then Tim English, priced just a little bit below, but with a break-even of 147. For Grundy owners looking to attack, can they go there this week to either one of those players?
Well, see, if you're going to ask me between the two, English is probably the one that's going to be unlucky. Hasn't started the season off in amazing form. He's still scoring well, as he often does, but now he's gotten his break-even up to that 142. I think he's going to come down potentially 50K over the next couple of weeks, and he might be someone that potentially is a decent pivot from Gorn next week. Even then, I think he might take a few more weeks, but Rowan Marshall is one I'm seriously bullish on. He's got Kieran Briggs this week, GWS Giants. Then he comes up against Tim English himself, of course, who gives up plenty of points. And then Port Adelaide and North Melbourne. I'm not sure where they sort of sit on the difficulty rating, but I think Rowan Marshall is one that we've seen has this frightening ceiling, and he's also one that we can put a VC and a C on pretty confidently more weeks than most. So I think he's bottomed out now. He had a massive quarter in the third quarter on the weekend. It was like 50 points after a bit of a slow first half, and that just shows you his scoring potential. So his next two matchups, I think he's well and truly at is probably bottom price at the moment, and you can jump on now.
Do you think there's any worry at all with a Tom Campbell coming in to share a bit of ruck time to help him get through the season? We heard it all last year and it never happened, but the words are still there. We know that he tied towards the end of the year and they couldn't get it done in finals. Would it be a disaster if that happened?
Oh, look, you do probably have to take it on face value. If Ross is saying that, I'm not going to discount that it's not going to happen just based on last season. Does it affect him? I'm not sure. I think he'll still have the majority of that ruck time anyway, but he's also a very capable forward. In fact, I think even in his junior days, that was sort of what he was doing very early on. But Lemon, it looks like you've got 2 cents to add there, mate.
Yeah, I think I had a look at Marshall this week, and I think he had quite a low ruck contest percentage. So it looks like maybe Caminiti took a few more ruck contests than normal. Now, obviously, he still scored well, but so I think he was down at 65%, which is quite low for him. Again, that might have just been the game. Maybe there were a few more forward 50 stoppages that Caminiti took. But it's something, you know, I think Ross saying that and then coupled with the ruck contest percentage, you know, if they get a game where he's... The other thing to consider, I guess, last year, I think they had a game where they won by a bit. He was subbed out at three-quarter time. So I wouldn't be surprised if he cops a vest in the coming weeks if they're up by, you know, 40, 50 points at three-quarter time. Or maybe they just bring in Tom Campbell for 1 week and he rests forward a little bit and they sub him out then. It's how do you know? How do you know?
Yeah, that'd be a disaster. I do wonder if the ruck contest, just based on where they played Norwood, it's very straight down the middle, and you know, he doesn't want to be doing buddy shuttle runs all day, I suppose. And maybe Caminiti did just chip in there, but you are right. Last season that was the case, and they are saying that they want to look after him. Saints potentially in the finals mix, and I think if they're going to give him a break, it's probably going to be earlier rather than later when they need to get a run on in terms of form.
Beautiful. Harmy, before we move on to some cash generators, I'm going to throw you three premiums here, all priced at 113 to 112. Jack Steele, Connor Rosie and Josh Dunkley. Is there any interest for these three players?
Yeah. Well, I own Steele and Rosie. I started with both of those guys, so... I'm liking what I am seeing from both of them, but you've got to remember I got them probably a bit cheaper, still definitely cheaper. Dunkley is an interesting one. I'm pretty keen on him now. He's got his buy out of the way. I think that he could be good, but look, I think you have to have a look at the run of both players. I know that Port have still got a few games at home, so Rosie, I don't see anything changing much for Rosie. Steele, yeah, probably Rosie, Steele, and Dunkley in that order. But if I have a guess, I reckon Dunkley's going to have the lowest ownership out of the three. So not sure if that plays a part in your decision. Look, at the moment, I'm probably not looking at any of those type of players as a trade in at the minute. But, yeah, they're both going to score well from here on in.
Yep, agree there, Harmy. All right, let's move on to some cash generators now. And Lemon, I'll go to you. I'll throw all of these rookies kind of in a bit of a bunch at the moment, and maybe let's get a little bit of a ranking thing going from you. So we've got Closey as a defender. We've got Max Ramsden as a forward from Hawthorn, scored 60 on the weekend. We've got Will Graham as a defender mid, scored 64 with a bit of a midfield role for Gold Coast. And then Kyle Lohman as a forward as well, scored pretty well against North Melbourne on the weekends, had his sub sort of issues. So where are we looking to go this week outside of an obvious Closey?
Yeah, I think definitely Closey's number one there. And then after that, it's very tough to tell how long Max Ramsden's going to be in the team for. I think he came in for Mitch Lewis, was it? So I'd be a bit worried there. Will Graham, I think what was promising about him, that he got some CBA. So obviously they fancy him in that sort of Sam Flanders role. Flanders has gone to the halfback line. If that's going to continue, I quite like him. He's probably my number two. And then Kyle Lohman, he looks like a really great scorer when he gets the game time. So if you're confident he's going to shake that vest, I think we could go there. I think he'll score really well, but he reeks of a guy that'll have one or two good weeks and then get dropped back into the vest and your cash gen stalls completely, you know, like we saw with a Harvey Thomas this week. So yeah, it's going to be a tough one. I think probably Closey and Graham are the two that I'd be looking to bring in this week.
Yeah, really rate that there, Lemon. I think I agree with those that ranking system as well. Louis, let's talk about some sort of mid-priced options now. So I'll throw these all in a bundle as well. So we've got Combin after his 107 on the weekend. He's now priced at 45 with a negative four break even as a forward. So that's pretty handy. Mark Keane's gone back-to-back 90s now as a defender. So priced at 59. We've got Jack Bowes as a defender, but played midfield on the weekend, now priced at 65 with a break-even of 48. And then Jack Lukosius swinging into defence as a forward, priced at 71, so a little bit on the higher end. But is there any interest in these four players?
Yeah, I don't mind Charlie Combin. So came in on the weekend, was playing that intercept role for North Melbourne. Obviously, we know North Melbourne are prone to giving up those inside 50s, and he was able to get on the end of those quite a bit. Certainly didn't expect the score that he did put up, but if that role can continue, I think given he's got forward status, it's a bit of an awkward price at 390k. That could be one that potentially you drop down to. I think if Closey hadn't put up the 95 that he did, then Combin would be one that coaches would seriously be looking at. I still wouldn't begrudge anybody going there personally myself. I quite like the pick. Mark Keane feels like something that we should have picked a week ago. To be honest with you, didn't expect this scoring to maintain, and Adelaide just aren't playing great football at the moment. So I'm not sure how sustainable that is. I'm not sure you want all your ball going through a Mark Keane. I'm just not massive on that one. Jack Bowe's a little bit the same. He's been the sub. His role gets thrown around, and we've got that Chris Scott factor, which I think is a bit of a piss take at times, how we say that Chris Scott is so unpredictable. But let's be honest, it's one of those things that does stitch us up from time to time, and he's already done so with Jack Bowes. Jack Lukosius, he's one I just want to keep an eye on. I think if he's in that half-back role, he's one that potentially could nip at the heels of a 90 average, and in a forward line where we're looking really scarce, he's someone that potentially could be near enough top six. If you saw something, if you've seen enough already, I wouldn't talk anybody out of jumping on. Probably slight concerns over how he does play for Gold Coast. So you do have those slipperier conditions, and there are a couple of people that can play that role. Obviously, we saw Sam Flanders on the weekend go down there too. He's going to be taking a bit of ball. Will Powell had a bit of a shocker, but he's better than that. And I don't mind Jack Lukosius. He's one I'd just be keeping an eye on.
Yeah, I think we need to learn a little bit from last year that the Gold Coast still do have those back-to-back games in Darwin in those or dewy conditions, whether it's in Darwin or Alice Springs, I can't actually remember, but the fantasy scoring there for outside players is not great with those conditions. But Lukosius did have the role. He had a lot of kickouts for Gold Coast. Did have to lock down at times, but when they want the ball in his hands, that's where they go. So definitely one to watch. I think we wait this week, though. His break-even's still 67, so even if he goes well, he's not going to go up a heap of cash, and then we would have 2 weeks in a row of seeing the data, because let's be honest, Gold Coast were 2-1, and they've swung wholesale changes, so what's to say that they won't swing the magnets around again? And if he was to go forward, then that's going to be a bit of a disaster. So I think we watch that. Harmy, you got something to add?
Yeah, I was just going to say, on the Suns, he swung so many changes on the weekend, didn't he, Hardwick, that it's a bit hard to tell what's happening, particularly in that back line. But I was just going to mention about that Darwin game. So let's have a look. They got round 6, then round 7, round 8, and then they go to Darwin for 2 games, round 9 and round 10. So they get 3 games before they go to Darwin. And they are Sydney, the Eagles and the Lions. So 2 hard ones and 1 really easy one. Where does that put you on Sam Flanders? If we're saying he's the number one trade target in the forward line, does that put you off him at all, guys?
It doesn't for me, Harmy, with what I saw on the weekend. He was everywhere. And all it's going to take is one score, potentially this week against Hawthorn, where he goes 120, 130. And then he's essentially almost out of reach with those games. So I don't think it changes it much for me. I think if anything, his scoring is probably going to improve off the half back line. He's no longer really fighting for ball with Anderson, Took and Rao. He's able to get a little bit more easy pill, hopefully, as he warms into the role. To me, he's just one of those players when I don't have him and I feel sick not having him, because he's just always around doing the right thing. And I think when I get that kind of feeling, I think I just need to go there. So priced under 100 still, with the lack of forward options, I think it's essentially a no-brainer to try and pick him up at some point soon. Otherwise, you're essentially looking after those Darwin games around the buys, where he might not be too much more expensive, but if you can lock him away now, I think with the safety in numbers, I think that's probably pretty smart. Would you agree, Lemon?
Yeah, I think for sure. I think that the real problem with fading on Flanders is who are you going to pick instead? You need 6 forwards. You know, for people who have a Luke Jackson and they're looking for an option, people looking to get off Jordan, all these guys, maybe Zach Fisher looking to get off. Who's going to be in your forward line come round 7? I don't really want to field 2 rookies there, yet alone 3. So unless we get some DPPs that come up and you can swing someone forward, maybe it's a Riley Sanders. It's going to be really tricky if you're stuck playing, you know, 2-3 rookies in your forward line and you really don't want to be. So I think Flanders is, you know, even in that role in the sticky conditions in Darwin, I can still see him having a pretty good floor that I'll be happy to take in my forward line.
You must have been looking at this last night as well, same as me. Who's the premiums in the forward line you're targeting? Because, yeah, it's pretty pretty thin there, hey?
Yep, it's tough.
All right, lads.
I think that 6th forward probably will be Riley Sanders for us in a couple of weeks, and that'll be one that I think we can probably keep for a couple of extra weeks past that, just because of the lack of options there.
Yep, really rate that, Lou. But let's be honest, we all know that in round 6, he's going to have 80% CBAs and he's going to get bevoed and he's going to miss the cutoff. But yeah, at the moment, I think you're penciling that plan that he's going to be able to swing forward and we're going to be able to play him on field there for a while. So really rate that. Before we move on to the questions, lads, we're just going to quickly touch on, is it time to go? So we're going to look at some rookies and mid-prices and decide whether or not we think it's a good idea to start to get off some of these guys. So, Lemon, I'll start with you. Let's start with some defenders. So we've got Zach Williams, Massimo, and Blake Howes, all priced around really what their break-even is. Blake Howes, his break-even's north of what he's priced at now, so he's going to start to lose cash if he doesn't get that scoring back quickly. Is it time to go off any of these players?
Yep, I think you can trade off all of these guys depending on who you're trying to bring in. I think Zach Williams might have a little bit more cash to make. I'm still a bit surprised by his scoring. I was expecting a little bit more in that role. So, yeah, he's probably the third one that I'd trade there, but I'd definitely be happy to jump off Massimo, happy to jump off Howes. And we've got some defender rookies. So if you downgrade there, it's a slam dunk, I think, this week.
Yep, agree there. Louis, sticking now to the forwards in the ruck with some popular mid prices. So James Jordan, Brody Grundy, and I'll throw in Zach Fisher. Would you say it's time for these three players to go if their coaches are able to get up to the premium they want on the other end?
I think certainly James Jordan's one that needs to go. Coaches would have been expecting much better than the 60 he dished up against the Eagles, and prior to that, probably hasn't been that impressive either. Zach Fisher, he's one that's interesting. He's in that forward line where we're not got many scorers, but at the same time, he's sort of treading water, going between that 70 and 85. Not sure what to expect each week. Does McKercher go back again and then chew into his points there? Obviously, you've got Harry Sheezel taking up a massive slice of that pie too. So I'd be happy to move him on. I don't think he's a heaps high priority, but he's one that I've sort of already identified that if I can get off in the next couple of weeks and get up to a really big dog, perhaps in the midfield, then I'd be more than happy to. Brody Grundy is probably the interesting one. What's he averaging, 93, is it, off the top of my head?
Yeah, priced at 88 too, so he's getting close.
He's getting close, but he's still putting up decent numbers for what you sort of paid for him at. I think that's one that, depending on how many round five buy players you've got, you could potentially hold for a little bit longer, but given that we've got some options above him as well, we touched on a Tim English, a Rowan Marshall. You're not going to be trading into Max Gawn, but these guys, they're going at, you know, north of 115. So if he's going 20 points on them a week, then potentially there's a lot of room for growth there too. But I'd be interested to hear Lemon's thoughts on this one, because he's got the three rucks, and that probably influences your decision in terms of what you do with Grundy, but I'd be keen to hear sort of both avenues there as a, if you were just that two ruck owner as well, Lemon.
Yeah, I think if I was a two ruck owner, I'd be pretty happy to jump off Brody Grundy this week. And we've talked about Marshall and English, and maybe there's not that much value there, but you're taking a guy that you're bringing in a guy that's probably going to be top two in the line. So happy to do that. But for the ruck, the three ruck owners around among us, I'm pretty happy on keeping Grundy through his bye. He'll cover for Max Gawn next week, and then I'll look to trade him probably before round seven, assuming nothing happens to Cherry and Gawn. So for me, that's a big structural thing that come round seven, I'll drop him to a basement ruck rookie, and then I'll have $600,000 to play with for a big upgrade. So I've got a lot of flexibility there. Hopefully everything works out okay. If I get a few injuries, I might be in trouble. It might be the next round. But yeah, we'll see how we go.
Harmy, I want your thoughts, because you have Grundy, right?
No, I don't have Grundy. I ditched him after round one and went to Cherry.
Then never mind. It is all good. All right, lads, let's fire through some of these questions. I know Lemon has to get out of here pretty soon. So Lemon, I will start with you. This one's from Brisbane Bloods Fantasy. Should we be prioritising moving a mid-pricer to Flanders, for example, or fixing a red dot on our bench, such as Pink to Closey?
Yep, I think, first of all, if you're fading Closey, I think reconsider it and definitely bring him in. In terms of fixing up a red dot, if you've got one red dot, maybe two red dots, it's not such a big deal. But if you've got three or four guys that aren't playing at the moment, or maybe a few that have stalled in cash gen, I'd definitely be looking to maybe do a double downgrade or a double sideways on your rookies and just get that cash gen moving, because it won't hurt you for a few rounds, and then, you know, in four or five rounds you'll look at your bench and you'll realize there's no cash there, and all of a sudden teams will start overtaking you, and you'll probably have to do a double sideways in or downgrade in two, you know, round 10, round 11. So yeah, I think just have a look at your team, have a look at your team value, what's your bench health like. And then maybe look to get rid of a guy like Pink.
Louis, this one's for you. This one's from Joshua Griffiths. So should players like Howes and Mossimo, who are likely to drop in price this week, are they more important to move than someone like Jordan, who, yes, he's maxed out, but he's actually going to hold his price this week? Or do you think you hold someone like a Mossimo and hope that you're going to get his score in your best 18 this week?
It probably depends on how many options you've got within that best 18 you're confident in. I'm in a similar boat. I'm going to be trading Jordan. I think there's a valid point within holding. He's not going to go down in price, but then also at the same time, you might get caught out there. You can't do a trade next week, and then all of a sudden you might be losing money on Jordan too. So it's a bit of a crux 22 there. I think I'd just make the trade while it's there and hope that Mossimo or, I mean, Howe's probably unlikely, but Mossimo certainly could. He's gone 90-plus before. Yeah, I'd just be holding there and hopefully he gets within your best 18 and improves your score this week, and then you can look to move him on maybe next week.
Yep, like that. Harmy, this one's from Curl. So if you're someone that has Bonner at M5 and then the three rookies, is it worth going one of them, potentially McKercher, up to a big gun mid and neglect the weak forward line, or do you think you need to use the cash to bolster it a little bit, the forward line?
Well, I'm inclined to hold those guys in the midfield at the moment. Your McKercher, Sharp, Sanders, Roberts. I'm inclined to hold those guys because they're scoring well. They're still making money. They're going up in value. So the thing about, you've got to have a sort of a view of overall with your team how it's going to land, because there's no point trading out McKercher when he could be useful in your backline in a couple of weeks as well. So, I don't know. Where was he looking for the upgrade in the forward line? Like, I'm pretty comfortable with Bonner and the three rookies at the minute. I think they've still got a few weeks left in them.
Yep, agree there. I don't think you go off them yet. I think we've got to try and get them to fatten out as much as possible. And I think some of those guys were even going to be looking to play on field for a bit longer as well. Think of Roberts in defence and potentially a Sanders forward as well. So probably not the time to jump off them yet. Lemon, this one's for you. Now, we spoke about potentially going up to an English or a Marshall from Grundy this week. Is it too late for coaches to make a whopping 2K and go Grundy down to Cherry and then obviously not you're able to spend your cash elsewhere rather than having to use that money to go up?
It's a tricky one. I think if you haven't got Cherry until now, there was probably a reason. Maybe you didn't like him. There's probably a little bit of value in Cherry still. He's a solo ruck at a team that doesn't really have a second option. So I think he's still a little bit of value, but if it was me, I'd be sort of skipping that trade and trying to go straight up to a guy that you can keep for the rest of the season, because there's not enough value in Cherry to make it worth an extra trade.
Makes you feel sick, doesn't it, hearing that? Oh, I might trade Grundy down to Cherry for $2,000, considering what the price difference was at the start of the season.
Yeah, you hate to miss those guys, and you buckle down, and Cherry's just keeps hurting people who didn't start him, really. So he's had a really good season so far.
I mean, if it makes the listener feel any better, I don't have Cherry. I've had Gorn and Grundy, I'm going all right at the moment. But yeah, who knows? Maybe it'll burn me in 3, 4, 5 weeks' time where I just don't have enough cash to get up to the guy that I want to get up to. But Harmy.
Yeah, at least my biggest misses were like the rookie players. They're the ones that are really hurting me at the moment. Choosing Lazaro over Sharp, not choosing Dempsey and now trading him in $170,000 later, they're the ones that are going to hurt me in the long run that I'm paying up for now.
Louis, I'll go to you. So this one's from Ben Harris. So he doesn't have Nick Martin or Flanders. Sounds a bit like Harmy. He wants to get both of them in the next 2 weeks, but who does he prioritise first?
Well, I think I'm bringing in Nick Martin at this stage. He's going, 110 across the last couple of weeks. He's going to get defender status, which makes him even more valuable. It's at 882K, so he's made, 113K on the season. He's going to keep going up. He's got that 68 break-even, whereas Flanders, what's he priced at? 99. So he sort of is where he's at, break-even of 96. I think in terms of value, you're probably going to Nick Martin first and then bring in Sam Flanders the week after, but it's going to be slightly team-dependent on what you've got up forward. That being said, best 18, you can sort of hide behind that, and if you're going to do it 1 week this week and then 1 week next week, I think you can go, Martin into Flanders.
Yep, really rate that. Cool, Lou. Now, lads, that's gonna wrap us up there. Had a monster episode again. Sorry if we didn't get to your all of the questions, listeners. We might even jump on Twitter and comment on some of those there on the Pod AFL official channel so that we get to the rest of your questions. But Lemon, I just wanted to say thanks for jumping on. We really appreciate it. And who knows, hopefully you might actually be a little bit more of a regular. We love your insights, and we are one panel member short at the moment. But thanks for jumping on, and just give us some closing thoughts as you move into round five.
Yeah, thanks everyone, guys. It's always great to chat. I think just stay disciplined, everyone. Do your best trades and maybe plan a week or two ahead and just get ready for those that round seven best 22 round, because that's when I think the good coaches who've had disciplined trading are really going to come through. And sounds like I'll put my application in, Holmesy. So you need a cover letter as well, or just a resume. What are we doing?
Yeah, 3-page cover letter, full resume. Give us your accolades. It's pretty popular. We've got some people lining up, but you know, we're mates. I'll put you to the middle of the pile, and we'll see how we go. But as always, Harmy, Louis, thanks for jumping on. Really good as always. For everyone else, thanks for listening. Make sure you're following us at PodPodAFL on X. If you can, still give us a rating and review on Spotify, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll be back here next week reviewing all things from round five. So looking forward to it, and we'll see you then. Cheers.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you. With professional-grade industrial supplies, count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.